Hey, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to share a message from God's Word. And I've prayed over the message, and I've asked the Lord to allow it to be biblical and relevant and, of course, practical. We want to be able to be a help to our members today and those that are listening to the message. So go ahead and grab your Bible and join me. We're getting ready to get started. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, guys. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews this morning. I love Brother Tyler. Book of Galatians, go ahead. He read my notes. We're studying through the book of Galatians. So chapter 3 this morning. We'll continue our study in Galatians and chapter number 3. We're looking at that second section of the letter. We mentioned last week, if you were with us, that book of Galatians kind of divides up just six chapters, and you know it was a letter, right? It was a letter the Apostle Paul wrote. God inspired Paul to write this letter to a region, Galatia. And in Galatia, there were a number of local churches. You know what a local church is, right? You're here today. This is a local church, a local assembly. It's a community of believers that meet in a specific geographical location. For us, it's 1073 New Brooklyn Road, Williamstown, New Jersey, 08094. Amen? You say, I'm in the wrong place. That's okay, stay. We're glad you showed up this morning. So Paul writes this letter, six chapters, chocked filled with wonderful, truthful information because it's the Word of God, right? All the Scriptures, the Word of God. We believe that God inspired the Bible, every word of it, right? We believe in jot and tittle inspiration. You say, what's a jot? What's a tittle? It's the punctuation marks and the stroke of a pen. It's the crossing of the T and the dotting of the I. And we believe it's perfect, right? Inerrant, infallible. That's what we believe about the Bible, preserved for you and I today. And I'm glad to have a copy of it, aren't you? Amen. I am. And so here in Galatians, the second section is doctrinal. Chapters 1 and 2, practical, right? Chapters 3 and 4, say it with me, doctrinal. Chapters 5 and 6, practical. Personal, doctrinal, practical. We'll get there sometime before the rapture in chapters 5 and 6. But we noticed last time, if you remember in the chapter number 5, as we introduced it, we only looked at the first five verses of this text. The Apostle Paul, once again, you know, he didn't mince words, did he?
No.
I mean, he was bold. He just got right to it. Verse number 1, he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? In other words, what he's saying is this, I'm shocked. I said this last week, we may have said it this way, what in the world are you thinking? And the whole idea is this, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this thought, but the whole idea was the Apostle Paul says to these believers in Galatia this. So remind me, how did you get saved? How did you get saved? Was it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary? Is that how you got saved? And if it is, then why are you reverting back to the law? You remember that? We talked about that last week. And the whole point Paul was trying to make was this in the first five verses. The point Paul was trying to make, and I think it's a valid point for us today, is this. You know, it's important to finish the way you started. And so if you started by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then finish that way. Or in other words, he says this, you're justified by faith, and now the Bible teaches the just shall live by faith. And so we're justified before God by faith, right? We're made right with God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we need to continue to live the same way. Our sanctification, our growing in the Lord, our becoming what God wants us to become will be by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we mean by that is, of course, obeying His Word. That's the implication the Apostle Paul is trying to make in the first five verses of this text. And before we left last week, we made it practical, right? and I shared a couple of valuable lessons for you to consider. Let me go over them with you again. We said this. We said it's important to trust what you believe. Yep. Right? Why is that? Well, when you look at this text, the Galatian believers were kind of reverting back to the, you know, the law, things that were not true. And so Paul is encouraging them to trust what you believe. And I think for us today, you know, time brings change, doesn't it? Right? Time brings changes. And difficulties present questions. And I'm not going to get back into that message from last week, but I want to say this. It's important for us to know what we believe and know why we believe it. Right? Because the passing of time and because of difficulties cause us every once in a while, you know, to begin to question things. And when you begin to question things, it's important you always go back to what do I believe? And why do I believe what I believe? Amen? A second lesson we shared last week was this. We said you ought to work to allow gratitude to guard your heart. Allow gratitude to guard your heart. And here's the truth of it. We all face our share of hurt and disappointment. Isn't that right? Paul mentions that in chapter 3 there. I think in verse number 4, where he talks about this. Have you suffered so many things in vain? And so we asked this last week. Who of us has not been hurt as a child of God, as a Christian? Who of us has not been hurt in life? Who of us does not face some kind of a disappointment? We all do. We all do. But we had said this, and I taught a little bit about it last week. Gratitude will protect your heart and will help you from disconnecting from the things that are most important, the things that we really need in life. Because we've seen this happen so often. Hurt, disappointment, a rejection of some kind causes people to disconnect. You know, we withdraw, we isolate, you know, we separate. But for us as Christians, when we separate from the very things that we need, such as the Word of God and the people of God and the throne of God, we're only hurting ourselves. And so allow gratitude to guard your heart. And then we closed up last week and we said this, be careful of living too close to the line. You remember that? Be careful of living too close to the line. And I said this in the message, if you live close to the line, it doesn't take too much to get you to sway. It doesn't take much to push you or nudge you over that line. And we need to be careful right there, because when we do, we disconnect from our source of spiritual strength. And that's a dangerous thing. And so there's always going to be distractions of some sort. The above lessons will help us to stay balanced. So Paul argues in Galatians chapter number 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul argues from a standpoint, a viewpoint of human argument or human experience. In other words, we would call it this sanctified human reasoning. Right? So Paul he's arguing with these believers in Galatia based upon their own human experience. How did you get saved? Have you suffered so many things in vain? It's human experience. But then he kind of flips, and in beginning chapter number three and verse number 6, he issues a second argument. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to place this second argument in the form of a question. And here's the question. I want to give it to you. Ready? Here it is. So, is Jesus enough? That's a good question, isn't it? Huh? Is Jesus enough? Look at the Bible. Look in chapter 3, book of Galatians, verse 6. Paul says, he invokes Abraham. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He says, verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, look, the heathen, he's talking about the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Did you ever see that before? Did you ever see that before? Look at it again. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So how are all nations going to be blessed? through the faith of Abraham. Amen. Let's read on. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with Father Abraham, faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, look what's written. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We'll come back and explain this in a moment, I promise. Let's read on, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by what, class?
Faith.
And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Look at verse 13, key verse of the whole text. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so now, Paul is, again, he's communicating with these Galatian believers, these believers in Galatia, and he's posing arguments. He's not arguing with them, but he's posing an argument, right? He's giving them some food for thought. The very first argument is based upon human experience, and I think that's a valid argument. But the second argument, he uses the example, he uses the testimony of Abraham, and he asks this question once again, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? We're going to get to that in just a moment, but let's make a little commentary here. I want you to understand this text of Scripture. In verse number 6, Paul says to the brethren, consider Abraham. And here's what he says or asks them to consider. Pay attention right here. He says this, I want you to consider the fact that Abraham was accepted by God, called by God by faith, not by works, by faith. And so here's his deduction. Here's his conclusion. So the real descendants of Abraham are those who have faith. Are you with me? Look at it again. Look at verse number 6. He says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so he's trying to make a point here. Why? Why is he making that point? Well, let me take you back just for a moment. Because there's a group of believer Christian Jews who are trying to rattle these Galatian believers. These were new converts. And he was concerned that they were going to shift from their faith. And so now he brings up who? Abraham, Father Abraham, right? And he begins to talk about how God was dealing with Abraham, and God's dealings with Abraham was based upon faith, not law, not the keeping of the law, not the works of the law. And Paul wanted to make sure they understood that. And so he says the real descendants of Abraham are those who have faith. So God tells Abraham that through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that would include the Gentiles. Amen. Here in this text, he mentions them as heathen, Amen. Right? And so God is going to work through the gospel, through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all nations of the earth are blessed. Verse number 9, look what he says in verse number 9. He says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. In other words, what he's saying is this, Abraham believed God and he was blessed. And so if you believe God, you'll be blessed as well. Do you see that? I'm going to shed this. Is that okay with you? If you said no, I have to do it anyway because I'm going to pass out. If not, it gets really warm up here with all these lights. And so he's trying to make a point here. He's trying to get these believers in Galatia to think and think clearly based upon what they were doing because they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but now they're reverting back to the law, the works of the law. And so he invokes the testimony of Abraham. He reinforces the fact that the law has nothing to do with faith. Look at verse 11. He says, but that no man is justified by what? By the law in the sight of God. It's evident, for the just shall live by faith. And so no one is made right by the keeping of the law, the Apostle Paul says. In fact, he says this, the law only reveals, it only reveals our sinfulness. Right, the law indicts us. The law reveals how much, you know, we need a Savior. In fact, Galatians chapter number 3, we'll see in just a little bit, maybe next week, he says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And so God gave us the law to show us the sinfulness of sin. It gave us the law to help us to realize that we can't keep the law because it'd have to be perfect. And instead, it leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point that Paul is trying to make in the lives of these believers. The law reveals our wrongs. And then Paul seals his point with verse 13. And that's the key verse of this whole text. Look at it again. He says, "For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written." What's written? "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." And every Jew in that community would have understood that. Every Gentile in that community would, of course, experience that because they would have seen the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. And so Christ became a curse for us that he might redeem us from the law. The law placed a curse upon us. You remember what I said last week before, talked about Ezekiel, when Ezekiel says this in Ezekiel 18, verse number 4, he said, "The soul that sins, it must die." And so the law says this, if you have sinned, if you have violated the law, the penalty for violating the law is death. You must die. But Paul says this in this text, Christ took that curse upon him. He took that penalty upon him. He was the one that hung on that cross for us. That's the point he's trying to make here. It's just kind of going over and over and over again the same truth. And the question I think he asked them is this, since Christ died on that cross in our place, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? And I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves today. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? You know, I know you know this text, and it's special. We often revert to John chapter number 14 in verses 1 through 6. That's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Isn't it not a powerful encouragement? You know the words? How many of us remember the words? Jesus speaking, right? Gathers his team together, his disciples. Now pay attention here, because I want to end with something real, real thoughtful. And he says this to them. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Right? Remember that text? He went on and said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And somebody said, "Woo, that's good." So Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's preparing them for what's coming. What's coming? Well, he's going to be crucified, buried, and then rise again, take his spot back in heaven. Correct? Get ready for that. I'm going to come back and receive you. And he said to them, "Now, guys, listen," he said, "you know I'm telling you the truth. And you know the way." Thomas said, "Lord, we have no idea where you're going. And so how can we know the way?" And then in verse number 6, we have the eternal words of Jesus Christ himself. And I say eternal words because heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass. Amen. And Jesus said to Thomas and to you and I, what? He said, "I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, and the chapter ends. Or does it? It doesn't. Because if you read on, here's what you find. You find Philip. You know, Philip was special. God used Philip in a wonderful way. And of course, in days to come after this passage. In fact, Philip was the fellow he was an evangelist. And God commissioned him to go and preach the gospel. And he's the one that shows up, out in the desert where the Ethiopian eunuch is. Remember? And he leads him to the Lord through the book of Isaiah. But in chapter number 14, Gospel of John, Philip makes a request of Jesus. And in chapter 14, verse 8, look at it. Flip it. Philip said this. He said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." You know what that word "suffice" means? It'll be enough for us. So, look, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough." Are you with me? Huh? Here's Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Philip says, "That's good, but I'm going to need more." That's what he said. If you can read between the lines, Philip saith unto him, he didn't say, man, Lord, that's great. I'm so glad you gave me that. I'm anchoring my soul in that prompt. That's wonderful. You're the way, the truth, and the life. I'm glad I know you. No, he said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough. I'm going to need more. Huh? I'm going to need proof. Are you who you say you are? If you show us the Father, that'll be enough. And so, you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, you know what, Philip, you're right. I agree. Who am I to ask you to have faith? Huh? That's what it says. No, it doesn't say that. Verse 9, here's how Jesus responds. He says, Philip, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me? I'm going to turn the corner and make this real practical here, so stay with me. Huh? Paul says to the Galatians, man, how in the world did you get saved? Isn't Jesus enough? And he can say the same thing to us today. So how in the world did you get saved? Go ahead and tell me. Well, last week we rehearsed. Remember that? I'd like to go over it again just because I think it's important. We heard the gospel. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God did something in our heart and convicted us. We need that. And so we asked Jesus to be our Savior. And the Holy Spirit of Almighty God took up residence inside of us. And now today we say, I'm saved. Amen. I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. Not because I'm good. I'm a sinner, but I have a good Savior. Amen. Right? So Paul says, how did you get saved? Isn't Jesus enough? And he might say to us today, hey, open Bible, how did you get saved? And you would say, what Pastor just said. And then he might say, well, then isn't Jesus enough? Isn't Jesus enough? That's what Jesus said to Philip. In other words, here's his response to Philip. Pay attention. He says, Philip, if you're going to follow me, I must be enough. Amen. I must be enough. See, it's not Jesus and I sing in the choir. It's not Jesus and I teach Sunday school. It's not Jesus and I'm a children's church worker. It's not Jesus and I serve as a deacon. It's not Jesus and I work on the welcoming committee. I'm a part of the usher corps, the First Touch ministry. It's not Jesus and I'm a child care worker. It's Jesus only, and only Jesus. Amen. Is what the Bible teaches. We have to come to a place in our lives where Jesus is enough. That's the argument that Paul is trying to make with these Galatian believers. Jesus must be enough. And so we ask ourselves that question today. Is Jesus enough? Go ahead and ask yourself that. Go ahead. Let me hear you say it. Is Jesus enough? Is he enough? Let me ask you this, church. Is Jesus enough when it comes to salvation? Amen. Is Jesus enough to save us? Amen. Huh? I recall the words of the Apostle Peter. I love Peter. Peter's a great character. And I don't mean that to be anything but true. A great character in the Bible. But you know, when he got right with God, God used him in a wonderful way. God used him to make some profound statements. And one is found in Acts chapter 4 in verse number 12. Here's what it says. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Amen? And so I ask again, is Jesus enough for our salvation? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, we read just a moment ago in verse 13, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the penalty of sin, is what the scripture says. So Paul asks this question. Tell me, what are you really trusting in when it comes to salvation? Right? And I would hope this. I would hope those of us who are Bible believers never get offended when someone asks you, so tell me about your salvation.
Amen.
Huh? That ought to be like, wow, thank you for allowing me to share. And we should never get tired of hearing someone preach the gospel or sharing a little bit about our salvation. Nor should you be kind of overwhelmed or bored when your pastor hits it on the head over and over, because the most important thing in the end is knowing for sure that you're born again, that you're going to heaven when you die. Because there's a whole lot of people that have head knowledge, but that's about it. Years ago, do you remember a gospel track years ago, Missing Heaven by 18 Inches? How many remember that? Remember that little gospel track? Missing Heaven by 18 Inches. And that was intriguing. I'll never forget the first time I saw this. I said, what in the world's that? And the whole idea is you got it in your head, but you don't have it in your heart. Huh? You have knowledge of Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. Right? And so Paul says to these Galatian believers, again, tell me how you got saved. So let me ask you today, is Jesus enough to save you? Is it Jesus in baptism? Is it Jesus in church membership? Is it Jesus in good works? No, it's just Jesus only and only Jesus. I like what the songwriter, he wrote this. He said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so, is Jesus enough when it comes to our salvation? Is Jesus enough to save us? And you'll have to answer that for yourself. But for me, since 1979, November 1979, when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has been enough for my salvation. I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven when I die because of what the Bible says. I have God's word on it. You know, in the very beginning, I would doubt often, Brian. I would. After I got saved, my aunt was talking to me over the telephone. I made a profession of faith. My whole family started getting saved one after another. And I started to doubt that. And you know what I would do every once in a while? Maybe what some of you may have done. I would lie in bed in the evening. And all of a sudden something would come over me and I would begin thinking about my salvation. And you know what I would do? Dave, I'd say something. Lord, if I wasn't serious then, I'm serious now. I trust you now. I won't ask you because I know you don't like to be honest, but... anybody ever do that? Huh? When was the last time you did that? Well, for me, it's been at least 3 weeks. You know? But I am certain. You know what? I have a couple of things. First, I have the Word of God, and that ought to be enough. But you know what else I have? I have evidence that God has worked in my life. Because I'm not the same person I used to be. Huh? And there's no possible way to make the changes that has been made in my life through willpower. Or self. I have evidence that I'm saved. Jesus is enough. Is He enough to save us? Let me ask you this. Is Jesus enough when it comes to taking care of us?
Amen.
Is Jesus enough to provide for us?
Amen.
Huh? I mean, if He's enough to save us, is He enough to care for us and provide for us?
Amen.
The Lord used the Apostle Paul to give us a precious verse of Scripture, many of them. But one precious verse of Scripture is found in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 19. Look what the Bible says. Paul said this, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that precious? How many of you know that Bible verse? Isn't that a Hall of Fame Bible verse? Huh? So the question is this, is Jesus enough to take care of us? Is He enough to provide our needs? Well, Paul said to a church... he's writing this to a church in Philippi, right? And to a group of believers who communicated well with him. And he said this, my God shall supply all your need. Take that verse apart for a second. And look at this. I want you to notice, first, it's God who supplies. God supplies. Huh? You come tomorrow and you got some needs and you knock at the church door and Isaac answers, or Tyler answers, or one of our staff, Nathan, answers, and you say to them, hey, can I see Pastor? I'll guarantee you this. They may say, sorry, he's not here, or he's not taking any appointments right now, or, and then sometimes you say, yeah, let me check. And I say to Isaac, yeah, let him in. And you come into my office and you say, Pastor, you got a minute? Sure, sit down. And you begin to share with me your needs. And I may say something like this, wow, man, that's something. Let's pray.
Amen.
And we pray and you say, oh, Pastor, I still have those needs. And I say, yeah, I know. You want to pray again? And we can pray until the cows come home. And by the time you leave my office, you may still have those needs because I do not have the resources to meet your needs. But I'm pointing you to the one who do.
Amen.
He does. God supplies. God is the one that supplies. And would you notice it says all. All. You know what that Greek word means? I looked it up. You know what it means? It means all. It means all. He shall supply all your what?
Need.
Need. Now, I'm not sure what version of the Bible you're reading, and I'm not sure what it says in that version, but I have King James here, and that's what it says in the King James Bible. I can only go based upon what I read. Huh? In your version, it may say something other, and fine, you claim that. But I'm glad to know that I have a God in heaven who has promised to meet my need. And here's the truth. Are you listening real good? There are some times I really don't even know what my need is. I think I may need. But what I really need is. So I'm not asking for what I really need because I think I need some finances, but God thinks I need some discipline. Are you listening real good? God's promised to supply our need. But would you notice how he does it? How does he do it? Look, my God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory. In other words, here's what he's saying. In other words, he's saying this. God will supply all your need. And he does this through your relationship that you have with Jesus based upon faith. Huh? Right next door to me, Donna and I, where we live, right next door to me, on the right hand side, looking at my house, would be my left side neighbor. Young couple, three young children. I see them all the time. See them every morning when they're going to school, every afternoon when they come home from school. Saw them the other day playing football. And you know what? We've lived there for a while now. Never one time did I feed them dinner. Or buy them clothes. Never one time did I discipline them. Never one time. You know why? They ain't my kids. They're not my responsibility. Hello? They're not my responsibility. Right? And so I don't supply for them. But we do belong to him. And he's promised to supply our need. Isn't that wonderful? You know what Paul is doing here? He's echoing the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter number 6. You remember that text? Jesus is with his team. I mean, they're all green behind the ears. They're just called, man. They're just trying to figure this thing out. And Jesus is teaching all these wonderful things. And so they're saying, well, Lord, who's going to supply him for this and that and the other? And Jesus gives them this wonderful story about the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the lilies in the field. And then he says this. He said, if you just take your energy and seek me first, if you seek God and his righteousness, all these things, what things? Everything they were concerned about. All these things will be added unto you. Added unto you. See, we got to come to a place in our lives where we believe that Jesus is enough, not just to save us, but to provide for us. And to care for us. When it comes to our care, Jesus is enough to meet our needs. I like what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He said, and he encourages us to cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for me. He not just cares for you, he cares for me too. Casting all your care upon him. What care? I don't know. You tell me what your cares are. What do you care about today? What's overwhelming you today? What are you concerned about today? I trust you're not worrying because there's no reason to worry. But what are your concerns today? Is it health? Is it financial? Is it relational? Are you fearing going to work tomorrow? What is it? Cast all your... I love that word, all. Because it means all. I happened upon this thought many, many, many years ago, and I pray it often. You hear me pray it often. And I say this, Father, I'm so glad that what touches me touches you. And I'm so glad that what I care about, you care about. You know why some teenagers don't pray? Because they think praying, I only got to pray about what God cares about. No, you pray about what you care about, because when you have cares, God cares. Amen. We just have to believe that He's enough. Amen. Is Jesus enough? And so is He enough to save you? Is He enough to take care of you? Can I give you one final thought? And I'll finish, and it won't be that long. Is Jesus enough to strengthen us for the journey ahead? We all have a journey ahead, right? We all have it tomorrow, if the Lord tarries. We all have it tomorrow and the next day. And so is Jesus enough to strengthen us for the journey ahead? That guy Peter shows up often in the Bible, New Testament. And I like this. We have a promise that he records for us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at it. He says this, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. In other words, if I can just make comment, he's saying God has provided us with everything we need to live a victorious Christian life. God has provided us everything we need for the journey ahead. How many of us believe that? Look, let's just be honest. Not one of us knows what tomorrow has in store for us. And isn't it true? Isn't it true? Is it not true that before tomorrow comes, Jesus might come back today? Yeah, right? But we must believe that Jesus is enough for tomorrow. And for my journey, he can strengthen me for my journey. And I point out once again, notice again in this text, the word all. He has given us all things, everything that we need to live victoriously for him, he has provided for us. Ain't God good? Amen. Nothing but Jesus is needed to equip us for living a life that pleases God. You can do it. You can do it. You can please God. You can make God happy. You can obey God. You can live for God. You can make a difference for God. Amen. If you so choose. Huh? If you so choose. Because Jesus is enough. And if you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Amen. I'm reminded of a personal testimony from the Apostle Paul. I love reading the story. I've been reading through the book of Acts, Will. And I got real, real deliberate over the last couple of chapters where Paul begins to speak about. I read this morning Acts chapter 27. If you read that real slow and real deliberately, it's unbelievable what the brother went through. I thought about this. He's on that ship. And you read the words, many days, weeks. He's on this ship for a long period of time in tumultuous waters. I mean to tell you, it got so bad they had to throw cargo over and mechanical equipment from the boat. And I mean to tell you, 269, 270 some people on that boat with him. And Paul stands up and says, listen, I just got a word from God. It's going to be okay. Huh? Have you ever been on a boat in the midst of the sea when it's a storm? Huh? Have you ever gotten seasick? I can tell you why Jonah said, throw me overboard. I'd rather be thrown overboard than to suffer seasickness. I'm not kidding you. Huh? The weakest part of me is my stomach. You cut my arm off and I'll make it. But you give me nausea, I cry like a baby. Huh? I say, Lord, kill me right now. I don't want to throw up. I don't want to be sick, please. I'd rather you chop my toe off than give me a sick stomach. But here's Paul on that boat. Weeks, and it was just not one. I mean, it was storm after storm after storm. Just what the brother's going through. That's Acts chapter number 27. Yeah. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, right, Paul's going to go through something other. Now, pay attention. I'm bringing this right to the end. And he talks to us, he tells us, if you ever read it, about an affliction he had. Right? He's afflicted. He calls, you know what he calls it? He calls it a thorn in the flesh. How many of you got a thorn in the flesh? Huh? Whose face popped into your mind when I... Thorn in the flesh. You got a thorn in the flesh. Paul says, I got this. So what does he do? He prays about it. Right? And the Bible tells us he prayed not once, not twice, but three times. And you know what he prayed? He prayed, God, remove it. How many of you pray, Lord, I got a situation. Would you please take it away? Right? Well, that's my first recourse. I don't say thank you for it. I please take it away. Give it to somebody else. Give it to Barry. And you know what the Lord says? He's got enough problems. And so he prays and he asks God to remove it. You know what? God answered Paul's prayer. But just not the way Paul wanted him to answer it. Right? If you read 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7 in there, it says that Paul, God gave to Paul his grace. And now listen to this. Here's the best part of the... He gave to Paul his grace, and you know what he called it? Huh? Sufficient. Enough. God, Paul said, Lord, please, this thorn in the flesh, would you remove it? And God said, I'm going to do one better. I'm going to give you my grace, which will be enough. Amen. Oh, you missed that. You missed that. I'm going to give you my grace. In other words, God told Paul, all you need is my grace because my grace is enough. Amen. And so again, I ask, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough to strengthen us? Is Jesus enough to provide for us? Is Jesus enough to save us? Let me take that thought back into our text of Galatians chapter number 3, where Paul says to these believers, O foolish Galatians, who has tricked you to think that Jesus wasn't enough? Did you catch that? It all comes together. All I'm trying to do is put a modern spin on it. I'm just trying to give it a modern commentary. Oh, foolish Christians, who has tricked you to think that Jesus Christ is not enough to save you, to keep you, to strengthen you, to provide for you? Is Jesus enough? Again, the songwriter wrote this. I'm finished. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Come on, get happy. Say it. Go ahead. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Philip asked, Lord, are you enough? Here's how Jesus responded. Listen, you're going to have to decide that for yourself. That's what Jesus said. Lord, show us the Father and it'll be enough. Are you enough? Jesus said, you're going to have to decide that for yourself. I've been with you long enough. You should be able to determine whether or not I'm enough. I've been with you long enough. I got saved November 1979. Man, that's a couple of years. How long is that? 41 years? I ought to be able to decide. You mean to tell me after all those years, I'm still saying, Lord, I'm not sure if you could. Really? After all this time? Come on, Philip. Can you hear him saying, get with the program, man? Huh? Can you hear Jesus saying that? Well, you think he just spoke, Philip, my son. No, I think he said, get with the program, dude. Haven't you seen all that I'm... Haven't you experienced? And I think he'd say the same to us. And so my question to you is this. Is Jesus enough? Is he enough for you? Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. Theologically, he's enough. Practically, I trust that he is. I believe you are, Jesus, enough to save us and to care for us and to strengthen us for our tomorrows, for our journey ahead. But we each have to come to that place on our own. And so, encourage this body of believers this morning, this community of believers this morning, encourage us to just make up our mind that Jesus is enough. Help us to trust what we believe. Help us to guard our hearts with gratitude. And help us, Lord, to live in such a way that we're alert to the fact that there is a line drawn, and we need to stay far enough from it so that we don't stray over it. God, help us to be at our very best. And if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as we've said over and over in this study, Paul harps on it over and over and over. The only way to be saved is through Jesus. Only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is enough. May He be enough for that person this morning. May that person come to a saving knowledge. And help us Christians to live according to our faith, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together. I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached. And just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you. Maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.